Hey, good morning, River Church. Thank you for being here on this Memorial Day weekend. I'm excited to see you guys and be here with you to a chance to bring the word. My name is Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at the River. And if you have been with us, normally I'm not preaching. Normally it's Pastor Mike. But last week, Mike and Katie welcomed baby Shiloh in. So we are happy for them. And Shiloh and Katie are doing great, and so we just want them to spend as much time as they can soaking in time with that baby. And so in the next few weeks, you're going to get to hear the other pastors preach. So last week, you heard Pastor Billy preach, and he did awesome. And then this week, you'll have me. Next week will be Joel and then Darren, and we'll just kind of rotate through, which we normally do this. Normally during the summer, we will let Mike, we kind of force Mike to take some time off to not take time off being a pastor, but take time off preaching. And it gives us all a chance to preach. So we just kind of moved it up a little bit. Now we did it in May instead of June, July. But we are excited to preach to you guys. If you've been with us, we've been walking through the book of Luke. And we're going to continue doing that today. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Luke chapter 11. If you don't, I'm going to have them up on the board here in a second. Former President Ronald Reagan, when he was a kid, had an aunt who took him to a cobbler. And if you don't know what a cobbler is, because I wasn't really sure what a cobbler is somebody who makes shoes, right? And his aunt took him to a cobbler and said, you know, I want to get him some custom shoes so he can wear. And the cobbler took the sizes, took the measurements, and then he said, okay, one more question. Do you want square-toed or round-toed? And as a good Texan, I'm thinking like boots, right? Square-toed boots or round-toed boots. And the young future president said, I don't know. I can't really decide. So the cobbler said, okay, take a couple days, and then let me know. And so a few days later, the cobbler ran into him on the street and said, Ronald, have you decided? Do you want square-toed or do you want rounded-toed? And Ronald said, I don't know. I can't decide. And the cobbler said, okay, well, come by the shop in a couple days, and your shoes will be ready. So Ronald came by in a few days, and when he showed up, the left foot was rounded, and the right foot was squared. And the cobbler said, this will teach you to never let someone else make a decision for you. And the future president said, I learned in that moment that if you don't make your own decisions, someone else will. Right? And in life, we are faced with choices every day, all the time. Week before last, I celebrated my 36th birthday, which I know is a shock to all you guys. You're all thinking I'm like in my 20s. I celebrated my 36th birthday, and my parents came over and watched the kids, and I had a chance to step out with Ashley, and we've been together we're celebrating 11 years of marriage in July, and we've been together for 15 years now together. And yeah, thank you. That should be a clap. Thank you. Yes. But we went out to dinner, and I was looking across the table and thinking like one choice here or there could have changed our history. One choice would have never met her. I would never had our kids. We would never, you know, it's just we're faced with so many choices every day, and we don't realize the gravity of some of them. Some of them are as small as, do we want round-toed shoes or square-toed shoes, right? But some of them are as big as, who are we going to marry? What job are we going to take? Where are we going to go to college? Who are we going to associate with? Every day, we're faced with lots of choices. And in Luke today, we're going to talk more about choices. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in Luke 11, starting in verse 24. Whenever I preach to you guys, I like to do something. Mercedes likes this, and I like to do this. I'm going to read all the way through. We're going to read the whole passage in its entirety, and then we'll kind of walk back and break it down a little bit and apply it to our own life, okay? So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 24, let's read together. When an unclean spirit comes out of a person, it roams through waterless places, looking for rest and finding not rest. And it says, I'll go back to the house I came from. Returning, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes out and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and settle down there. As a result, that person's last condition is worse than the first. As he was saying these things, a woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the one who nursed you. He said, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. As the crowds were increasing, he began saying, this generation is an evil generation. It demands a sign, but no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so also the Son of Man will be for this generation. the Queen of the South will rise up at judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and look, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand at judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at Jonah's preaching, and look, something greater than Jonah is here. Verse 33, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a cellar or under a basket, but on a lampstand, so that those who come in may see its light. Your eye is the lamp of the body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Take care, then, that the light in you is not darkness. If, therefore, your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be entirely illuminated as when a lamp shines its light on you. May God bless the reading of his word. We made it. That was a long passage, right? And it's kind of crazy. You had demons, you had a queen of the south, you had our friend Jonah, you had lamps and eyes and all sorts of things popping out of this passage. But we're talking about choices today. We're talking about choices today, and that's what Jesus is making a point in here. So I'm going to give you some points. I want you to write them down, put them on your phone, or remember them however you can remember them, because they're points for us today. And the first one is this. We should choose to act. Choose to act. Let's look back at verses 24 through 26, right where we started. When an unclean spirit comes out of a person, it roams through waterless places looking for rest and not finding it. It then says, I'll go back to my house that I came from. Returning, it finds the house swept and put in order. And then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and settle down there. And as a result, the person's condition is worse than the first. So Jesus is starting us off with an analogy. He's saying, picture someone who had a demon, and there's this act of God, and they pull the demon out of them, but rather than fill this empty space in their life, they say, I'm good. I'm healed from this demon. I'm just going to remain neutral in the whole thing, right? I'm not going to fill this empty space with God now. I'm just going to kind of try to stay, and I'll be a good person. I'll be morally good. What Jesus is saying is that's not a choice here, right? When we fill a space out, or when God heals us, takes something from us, we will fill it with whatever we have to if we don't fill it with God. One of the commentaries I read is a quote said, the heart of man is like a vacuum seeking to pull in whatever it can, right? When God applies to our life, when God does something in our life, when he heals us from something, we're going through a struggle, God is, and maybe it's not demon possession, but maybe we have an addiction or we have a problem at work, we have something, and God delivers us from that. He heals us from that. We move past it, and we don't follow him, we don't fill that space with God, then we will find something to fill it. We just will. It's the way we were created. We will find something to fill it. There's a side to choose, and it's not neutral, right? One of the quotes I read said, there is no inner goodness aside from Christ, right? You'll never be good enough. You'll never be moral enough. You'll never be right enough to live a life that pleases God outside of the man Jesus Christ, right? Outside of filling your life with his grace and his life, which he paid for us. You can probably relate to that. There's no goodness outside of the grace of Jesus Christ. And it's our job to choose to act. When we look at what happens in the Bible, we look at when God moves, it's always on us to respond. When God does something in our life, it's always on us to respond. When God moves, we respond. Today, God's telling us, choose to act. Choose to respond. Point two, choose to respond in faith. Look at verse 27. Verse 27 says, as he was saying these things, a woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the one who nursed you. And he said, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This is actually pretty common in this time. It's not uncommon for, it sounds kind of weird, I don't know. I think it'd be really weird if I was going somewhere and someone said, blessed is the womb that raised you, Ryan. I think it'd be really odd today. But back then, it's a very common thing. The woman is giving blessing to Mary, right? Putting honor on her. And it's very common. What does Jesus do? He immediately turns it and points it back to the Beatitudes. He says, rather, blessed are those who hear and obey, right? Hear and obey. That's important. We'll keep going through this, but that's important. Verse 29 says this, as the crowds were increasing, he began saying, this generation is an evil generation. It demands a sign, but no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment, and the men of this generation will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear Solomon. And look, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand at judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at Jonah's teaching. And look, something greater than Jonah is here. Jesus starts his whole passage off by saying, blessed are those who hear and obey. And then he points back to two times in history, two examples. The first one is from 1 Kings. And this queen of the south is Queen Sheba, the queen of Sheba. And the queen of Sheba heard of Solomon. And you remember Solomon is King David's son. God came to Solomon and said, I'll give you anything you want. What do you want? And Solomon said, make me wise. And God was pleased in that and made him the wisest man on earth. And so Solomon was doing all these amazing things. And the queen of Sheba heard that and came from far away to see Solomon, to see what he was doing. And after seeing and learning, she followed God. She chose to follow God, right? First example, she heard and she obeyed, right? The second example is our man Jonah, which if you don't remember from Sunday school, kindergarten class, Jonah was the man who God came to him and said, hey, Jonah, there's some people called the Ninevites. I'm going to destroy them unless you go and preach to them and tell them to repent. And Jonah said, no. He took off, jumped on a ship and took off, and he was tossed from the ship and swallowed up by a giant whale. And after 3 days, he was spit out on the shore of Nineveh. As he had a change of heart at that point, spit out on the shore of Nineveh, and went and preached to the Ninevites for 40 days. And after 40 days, the men and the people in Nineveh heard, saw God, and obeyed. And God spared Nineveh. And so the second example is the same thing, right? It's a group of people who heard the word of God and obeyed. And so Jesus is saying, blessed are those who hear and obey. Here are two great examples, right? The Queen of Sheba, the men of Nineveh, they heard and they obeyed. And the reason he's doing this, and this is one of those things where when you kind of get into scripture, I love to learn, is this is like a cultural jab at the people listening. Because there are a lot of Jewish leaders that are here who feel like the kingdom is just for them, right? Heaven is just for them. God is just for them, just for the Jewish people. And Jesus says, hey, here are some Gentiles, people who aren't Jews. The Queen of Sheba, she was not a Jew, and she heard and obeyed. And then there are the Ninevites, and they heard and they obeyed. But you people who are here are only here to watch me do something, to prove who I am, to kind of like show you that I am who I say I am. And he says, I'm not going to do that. You should know, I'm not going to do that. And don't get me wrong, Jesus was doing really great things at this time, right? He's doing lots of miracles, lots of really great things. But I preached a couple months ago, and I talked about at this time, the crowd was basically made up of people who legitimately wanted to follow Jesus, wanted to know who he was and learn from him. People who wanted to see him do stuff. Like, oh, this guy's, you know, healing people who can't walk, and he's making people see, and like, let's just go see what this happens. Let's kind of learn about him. And then the religious leaders who wanted Jesus to prove that he was the Messiah, that he was going to raise up the army, that he was going to overthrow Rome, and that he was going to restore them to where David had been. Like, that's what they were looking for. And so at this time, Jesus is looking around the crowd, and he knows their thoughts, he knows their hearts, and he says, y'all are missing it. I am the sign. I am the sign. I am God in flesh sent to you to bring the good news, and you're totally missing it because you're waiting for me to prove who I am. One of the commentaries said this, the irony is biting. The Ninevites and the Queen of Sheba accepted the messengers of God. Not even God. They accepted Jonah and Solomon, the messengers of God. But Jesus' audience here is rejecting God himself. Let's put that in our own life. Let's make that apply to us, right? Sometimes God is calling us to do things. And maybe you don't know God. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. Or maybe you have, and God's kind of leading you to do something, to step out on your faith, to talk to that person who doesn't know Christ, to lead that community group, to get involved, to do something. And you go, I need a little more assurance. I need you to tell me. I need to see a sign. I need you to prove it to me. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't. And don't hear me wrong. I have asked for signs in my life. And there are times to do that. And God has answered me in amazing ways in times like that. But what I'm talking about here is when we use that as a crutch to not walk out in faith. And that's just a lack of faith. When we know what God's calling us to do and we go, well, I need you to prove it to me. I really need you to convince me. I need you to give me a sign. And Jesus is kind of looking around and saying, you don't need a sign. I need you to respond in faith. And so if we're talking today and you know that God's calling you to do something, respond in faith. Get in his word. If you want to hear from him, there's a place you can hear from him. And he will answer you. But to sit back and say, I'm not going to move until you prove it to me and prove that you're really telling me to do this is not, it's just a lack of faith. And Jesus is looking at the crowd and saying, you guys are missing it. Y'all are missing what I'm asking you to do. God calls us to know him, to be known by him, to be sons and daughters that have courage, that step out in faith. Charles Spurgeon has a quote that I really love. He says, in the same way that the sun never grows tired of shining and the stream never stops flowing, it is God's nature to keep his promises. God is faithful. We don't have to ask him to prove that he's faithful. Right? He came, died, rose again, and now lives for us. It says he stands at the right hand of the Father, pleading for us. We don't need him to prove himself. He's already proved himself. God has proven himself to us. It is our job to respond in faith to what he's calling us to do. Point two, respond in faith. Choose to respond in faith. And then point three today, choose light. Choose light. Verse 33 through 36. Actually, I'll just do 33 right now. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a cellar or under a basket, but on a lampstand so that those who come in may see its light. This is talking about Jesus. We're going to see two lamps referenced here. This first one is talking about Jesus. No one lights a lamp, puts it in the cellar. Jesus is for all people. For all people. Right? He said, doesn't matter if you're Ninevites, or Jews, or Gentiles, or the Queen of Sheba, it doesn't matter. I am for all people. Jesus is a lamp. Right? God put him on earth so that he would shine for all men. That doesn't matter if you're good or bad, doesn't matter your history, doesn't matter your age, your race, nothing. That God is for you. And praise God for that. God is the lamp that shines. It is our job to make him great. He is a lamp that shines for all people. 34 goes on, for your eye is the lamp of the body, and when your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, it is also full of darkness. So what has God told us so far? Right? He says, choose to act. You start off the passage, and we need to choose to act. Don't wait. Choose to respond. And then he moved on. He said, choose to respond in faith. Step out. Believe in who I am. And now he's going to leave us with almost like a cautionary tale. I want you to choose to act. I want you to choose to respond in faith. But, if you don't choose what you're taking into your heart, if you don't choose what you are taking into your life, then none of it's going to matter. Let me read that again. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. 2 Corinthians 5 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be considered the righteousness of God. What are we taking in? What are we taking in? We started off talking about choices, right? Choices every day. What this is talking about is saying the things that we look at, the things that you give attention to, the things that we put in priority in our heart and our mind make up who we are. Some things are good, some things are bad, but our eyes are always a reflection of where our heart is. Let me say that again. Our eyes are always a reflection of where our heart is. The things we focus on, the things we take in, determine who we are. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Proverbs 4:23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." I had a friend growing up, Mike and I had a friend growing up, and he always had the best things. He always had the nicest car, he had a huge house, we'd go hang out at his house, and always had tons of food. It was great. Being a friend with him was great, right? He always had the great stuff. But his dad was kind of climbing the corporate ladder and wasn't around very much. In fact, most of the time we'd go hang out over there, his dad wasn't there. His parents were divorced. It was just us. I remember one day I said something to him like, "Man, this is great. I'm like your dad gets you everything you need." And he said, "Yeah, he buys me lots of stuff, but I wish my dad would spend time with me." Sometimes the things we focus on aren't what Christ calls us to. Like his dad was so focused on climbing the ladder and making money to provide these things that he missed out on what Christ had called to be a father. Whatever we take in through our eyes, our pursuits, the things that we put value, always shine through. You can take it in for a long time. You can look at things we're not supposed to look at. You can dwell on things we're not supposed to dwell on. But eventually, one day, those things shine through. You can't run away from it. And Jesus is saying, the things that come in through our eyes will determine who you are. That last part of that, verse 35, says, "Take care then that the light in you is not darkness." It's the only time in the entire passage that Jesus says, be careful. Be careful that the things you take in are not spreading darkness. Be careful that the light in you is good. Be careful that the things you look at, the paths you go down, are leading you to salvation, not to death and destruction. We have a family place about 2 hours outside the city. And I love to go there. I love to be kind of, I like to go there myself. I like to go and be away. But as I've had kids, I've found that I love to take them with me out to the ranch. And the reason is, despite our best efforts, our children have grown up in the city. In fact, one night we came home and one of my kids, I think it was Ellie, I'm not sure, we opened up the door and she got out and she said, "Look, I see a star." I mean, we're in the city. And there's one star up in the sky. She said, "I see a star." But last year, I took them out to the ranch. We pulled up, we turn off the truck, and it's stars. You can see the Milky Way. We counted how many shooting stars we saw that night. And they never looked at the stars in the city the same way they did, right? Never the same. Sometimes in life, we see things and we think, this is good. I need to focus on this. I need to follow this. This is great. But when we compare it to Christ, and we compare it to what God has called us to, it pales in comparison. The light that we think we should be focused on, the light that we think is good, is like a candle that lights up a dark room, and when the sun comes up, it's gone. Right? The things that we take in are bringing light or bringing darkness. And sometimes the things we think are most important fall by the wayside when we look at Christ and what he calls us to do. I've told you this story before, but I like to tell this story. I played college baseball, and one of my teammates used to always ask me the same question after practice, and I didn't like it, but he was bigger and stronger and older than me, so I never told him I didn't like it. But he'd always say, "Rags, did you get better today, or did you get worse?" And I'd say, "I don't know, J-How. I'm probably about the same as I was 2 hours ago when we got here. All right, it's just one practice." He'd say, no, that's not an option. Either you got better or you took steps back, but you don't leave here the same." And I wish I knew at the time how much that was going to impact my Christian walk. Either we are taking steps toward the cross, either we are following Jesus, or we're falling behind. There's no middle, right? Just like we said at the beginning, there's no neutral. Either we are taking steps to follow Jesus, we are looking into things that give life and light, or we are falling backwards. How are you this morning? How are your eyes this morning? What are the things that you're taking in and putting into your heart and mind? What are you giving priority in your life right now? Do they build up Christ? Do they draw us close to Him? Or are they things that would lead you down a path that would take you far from where He would have you? Take care then that the light in you is not darkness. Where are you today? Three different points, right? Choose to act, choose to respond in faith, choose light. Maybe you hear that first part, choose to act, and you think, I don't know Christ. I haven't really taken that step. Maybe I've been going here and just kind of hearing about it, but I haven't really done anything. Or maybe God's done something in my life. He's delivered me from something, but I haven't filled myself back up with Him. And I'm guilty of that sometimes, right? I pray for something. God, please work. Please deliver. Please heal. And He does it, and I go, cool, thanks. And I don't follow. A.W. Tozer says this, when you kill time, remember that it has no resurrection. We don't get time back for missed chances. Never get time back. And if that was you today, then I would just say, choose to act. Choose to step. Choose to follow. Choose to move. Whenever God moves in our life, we are always to respond. Or maybe you fall in that second group, right? You're looking for proof. I need a sign. I need something more. Then I'd say, get in God's word and search for Him. Because the Bible says He is close to all of us. He is not far. But don't wait for Him to move before you do. God has paid the price for you. He has chosen you. He has called you. If that's what you're wondering, if God's called you to do something, He's called you. God has called you. And He qualifies you. But choose to respond in faith and move and act. Choose to move. And regardless if you found yourself in the first two categories, you are in the third category. We are all in that third category, right? Every day, what did we talk about when we started? Choices. Big, small, choices every day. What are we putting into value? What are we taking into our hearts? Where are we focusing? Where does our mind look? If you looked in your heart, is there darkness? Because that last part of that verse says, for if there's light, there can be no darkness, right? Are we building up darkness in our heart because we're looking at things we shouldn't? We're dwelling on things that are bad. We're letting the lies of Satan change and distort who we think we are? Or are we looking at things that would build up our life? Build up Christ and provide light to those around us, that just like we said, we can shine Christ forward like a lamp on a stand. Andrew Kuiper says this, there's not one square inch in the whole domain of human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. There's not one square inch in the whole domain of human existence which Christ does not cry, mine. And that includes your heart. That's a good thing. That Christ looks at you and says, he is mine. She is mine. I have called them and I want them. And he wants all of you. He wants no darkness. He wants all of you. He wants light. And it's our job to choose to act, to respond in faith, and to choose to look and dwell and think on things that would point us to the cross, that would build up Christ in our life and Christ in the life around us. Let me pray for you guys this morning. Heavenly Father, God, I'm thankful for you, God. Father, I'm thankful for choices, God, that we get to choose to follow you. And God, I pray that as we think on these things, that God, you'd give us courage, that we would follow you, Father, that we would know your goodness and your truth, that we would remember that you have called us wanted and worthy. That, Father, you would move on our hearts, Father, that you would give us courage to step out in faith and do the things you called us to do. And that, Father, that we as a people would focus on you. That, God, you would free us from addictions and things that just seem to entangle us that we can't get away from. And that, God, when you free us from those, that we would fill that space with you And that, God, we would grow close to you and we would fall in love with you. And that the more we got to know you, the more we wanted to follow you, Father. God, I pray that you would give us courage today, that we would hear from you, that we would move and do the things you've called us to do, God. Pray all this in your name. Amen. We're going to take communion in just a second. We're going to have a chance to, these guys are going to sing another song. And the same thing we always tell you every Sunday. You don't have to come down here to this altar and pray. You can pray in your own seat. But if God is moving on your heart today, the one thing we ask that you respond. Remember, when God moves, we have to respond. He calls us to respond.